Hey everyone, Justin Dean here from Sunday U, and today I sat down with my friend Jonathan Malm. We talk about SundaySocial.tv, his social media service for churches, and we talk about the new metrics that churches should be using to measure success on social media and online. Check out my interview with Jonathan Malm.
Yeah, so I started a website a few years ago called churchstagedesignideas.com. That one's still going strong. I've created a few other projects since then, Sunday Mag being one that that you're now taking over. And then I've written some books and just released recently turned in a manuscript for a new book I'm writing with my friend Jason Young. We wrote The Comeback Effect. One year ago. And then we have another one coming out September 2020 about how to work with volunteers. A lot of cool stuff in there that I'm excited about. And then recently launched a new company called New Supply. It's a $5 a month subscription with like these really cool design assets with my buddy Joe Cavazos, who I also run SundaySocial.tv with, which Sunday Social is a social media subscription company. We create tons of graphics that churches can use on their social media, from verses, encouragement, song lyrics to interactive questions to a bunch of other stuff too. But yeah, so Sunday or social media especially is something I'm really loving lately, of course. And dipping my foot into TikTok and seeing what the potential is there, but still rocking Instagram and seeing what's possible with that platform and Facebook.
Facebook's still a steady background kind of social network, right? Like we're always gonna have
I mean, everyone's like freaking out saying like, oh, TikTok's the new thing. And I'm like, maybe it is. Yeah. And they're worried that Instagram's going away. But I'm like, man, just because something's going down a little bit doesn't mean that there's still not like 600 million people on it or whatever, however many it is, you know. So.
Yeah, Instagram's still going to reach a wider audience than I think. I feel like TikTok is such a niche little thing. Like even... you know, I feel just completely old using it. I think, you know, majority of people do. But, you know, it's growing like crazy. They're going to adapt it like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's going to be around. But
it's a new frontier for sure. I mean, my friend, two nights ago, the next day he woke up and he had 2 million views on his video. And you're like, okay, cool. Like he struck a chord. And he's not the demographic that's creating the majority of the content for that. Right. So. It's still possible, and I definitely see the potential for it. But
the numbers you can get on there are just crazy. Like that's why. Well, we can't really ignore this. We gotta, you know, churches. I don't think need to panic and jump on it.
Yeah.
But it's gaining traction like crazy. Like you can't even get those kind of views on YouTube without years and years of building your audience. You know.
I have like 10 followers, and if I post a video that has less than 300 views, I'm like, oh, that was a complete failure. And I'll delete it. Yeah, I'm like, it's definitely interesting, and it'll be fun to see how that progresses, as things go on. So
yeah, well, let's talk about SundaySocial.tv. You and Joe Cavazos, am I saying that right? Cavazos.
You know, white people.
Whatever. You guys created this thing. What, like 2 years ago now? It hasn't been that long, has it?
No, I think it's been 3 years. Yeah, so we're at like, I think we have a little over 2,000 people subscribed and got like 3,500 graphics that we have already in our library, and you're creating like 120 new graphics a month or something. So yeah, it's going strong.
So how did that start?
Joe and I used to work for a company called Igniter Media. Love the company. We've just been friends for a while, and then we both left independently. And then I don't know. We just always have been talking, and he came to me with the problem one day. He was like, "Man, I feel like I want to work with all these churches. Churches will always reach up, like, hey, can you do a sermon series graphic for me?" And it's like, yeah, it'll be like $3,000. And of course, every church is like, like, no way. So he's like, "Man, it's frustrating. Like, I want to be able to." Make content for that's my dog hopping in the screen if you're watching on video. I want to make graphics for these churches, but I just can't, like, ultimately because of my time and because of my price point. So this was part of a way to make his graphic design available to churches, but also I acknowledge that 5 years ago, the conversation was like, everything is Sunday, everything is Sunday. So you create all of your content, all of your Sunday, high pressure. And then now we're getting social media involved. We're like, dude, more than 50% of the content you're creating has to go during the week. So, and there's no one creating content to help churches with that. So right. I thought this would be a great way to adjust that. Whereas, you know, Igniter Media is killing it with Sunday morning graphics, and a lot of companies are killing it on Sunday morning, but not a ton of people. Well, nobody at that time was really doing much for the midweek stuff. So that was our goal.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. I personally know a ton of churches who use your images every day. Because you provide at least one image per day, right? Like that's the
three images a day.
Three images a day now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, I love how a lot of it's geared towards increasing engagement on social media. Like they're not just, you guys do verse graphics and things like that too. But a lot of it is it'll pose a question or get people to actually engage with the post a lot. And I love that. I think that's huge. And
yeah.
You know, it's easy to get lost in those metrics, right? Like we post something and, you know, say it gets 100 likes. It's like, what do you even do with that? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, what does that matter? And now we see Instagram is saying they're going to be taking away likes. Facebook might follow. Who knows? What would you say are the metrics that churches should be looking at? Like when you create these images and you put them out there, like what are you hoping for? Best use case scenario, you know, what can the church get out of it?
Yeah, I think I see a lot of conversations in groups right now where, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, so don't like judge me immediately by what I say, but where they're like, oh, this post killed it. We got 100 comments in an hour, right? And like, that's so exciting because we want to feel like what we're doing matters, what we're doing is making an impact. And so we start seeing, okay, well, we obviously want to post graphics that get comments and get likes. And that's success on social media. And the slippery slope of that, though, is that you could very easily and quickly turn your social media accounts into a meme account. Like meme accounts get tons of engagement, tons of shares, tons of comments. And that's not what we're called to do as a church. So I really want to see people starting to like change their perspective. Like, what are you trying to accomplish with social media? You know, like, some churches, man, they want engagement. They want likes. They want comments, and that's a win.
Right.
And that's going to ultimately probably move you more toward a meme page, right? There are other churches that are like looking to minister to people that are outside their church. Like, how can we make this as a ministry platform? That's cool. That's an opportunity. Man, that's tough. I don't know of many churches, if any, that are doing that, like actually bringing people to Jesus through social media. Because social media is such a soundbite platform, whereas ministry requires so much investment. I don't know about that. But then there's churches that are like extending the Sunday morning ministry into the week. I'm like, that's pretty cool. That's exciting. There's churches that are trying to remind people why they're there or that they're there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of valid reasons for it. But I think churches need to examine why they're doing it. I remember. I was telling my mom, whoa, that's weird. I was telling my wife about my friend.
We'll dig deeper into that in a second.
Freud. No, so I was telling my wife about my friend who got 2 million views, and she's like, that's cool. What did he get? I'm like, affirmation. Like, he didn't get anything. Like, he's not making money from that. Like, 2 million views means nothing. Yeah. But, you know, there is a benefit of like being able to contribute something out there, like to get something seen by people. And, you know, we've been analyzing that with Sunday Social. We create all these IGTV videos, and, you know, like everyone was saying IGTV is the future, right. Video is the future. And then, you know, we post these videos, we get 1,000 views, you know, like, well, we have like 24,000 followers. So 1,000 views is not that big of a deal, but we get 1,000 views. Then if you actually look at the data on it though, you'll see that 1,000 views 2 seconds in, and then by the time you get to like 20 seconds, it goes to like 100 views.
Yeah.
And that's where it maintains steady. So
you know, that's really about 100 people that actually watch that.
And that's where I'm like, man, people are saying that like video is the future of social media. Video is like where things are at. And like, the problem is we don't actually have valuable metrics on that. In fact, Facebook was recently found out to have been lying about metrics on videos.
Right. I saw those headlines this morning, actually.
And so like there's all these things. I'm like, I want people to challenge the whole thing that people have been saying for so long. Like, video is king. No one questions that, even though I do actually. Or people are saying like, you know, the key to growing a following is by posting consistently. And I'm like, man, I see Generation Z people, they post like once a month.
Yeah.
If that, and then they get a bajillion likes because like it's good quality content, right? Yeah. So I think there's so much that we need to change about the way we do social media. And I think we just need to challenge those questions. Like, what is a good metric? What is success? What really are we trying to accomplish with that? And I think it needs to be an individual basis.
You know, Greg Laurie, pastor down in Southern California, does the Harvest Crusades. You know, he said once, and I love this quote, but he was saying, especially online, we live in this world where there's a ton, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, there's a ton of fake news, there's a ton of bad news, there's shootings, you know, every other week, it seems, and there's a lot of negative stuff thrown at us. And if you just scroll through your feed, especially on Twitter, it's just kind of negative, a lot of whining, and things like that. And so there's something to be said for, you know, the church and Christians in general can put out content that's positive. Like that's something that would be awesome if that's what we're known for, is like, man,
yeah,
all my Christian friends are posting this positive content, all the churches are posting this stuff. And I think there's something to be said for that, of like, yeah, we can, you know, whether that's being a light in the darkness or whatever you want to call it, I think there's value in that. But what I hear you're saying is, you know, that can be your goal, and that's great. And these images and videos or whatever, you know, content you're putting out there can actually help that goal. But it really doesn't matter what your goal is. Some churches are using social media to you know, as a discipleship platform. Some are just using it to get more people on Sunday. Some people are just, you know, extending the Sunday content, so maybe their audience is more people who already go to their church, as opposed to like trying to bring new people in. And I guess what I'm hearing you say is none of that's really bad. It's just pick a goal and actually have that in mind with what you're putting out there. You know, actually build a strategy behind it, right?
Yeah, and you know, Joe and I were recently talking because my buddy Joe Cavazos, he blew up on Instagram recently. He's like 50,000 followers in like the last 6 months or something. Part of that was like Adobe, like he did this really cool technique, and then Adobe started blowing it up, and like all these other magazines. So there's an element to it. But he's like, he's been saying that what's really been working for him is taking the personal element, putting the personal element back into social media. And everyone's saying that social media needs to be social media. But I'm realizing, like, even if, as I talk to, you know, like my church will post a graphic, a photo of me, and I'm like, I comment on it, or they'll post a photo of a kid, and I'm like, hey, that's me. And I'll just make it funny, like me when my favorite worship song comes on or whatever, because this kid's all excited. Yeah. And like, when they respond to me, because I know who it is that runs the social media, when they respond to me, I'm much more encouraged to leave comments in the future, because I know there's a person behind it. And part of the problem with social media is that we make it our organization, our official brand, our official face, and then nobody's responding to it. Like, if someone were to DM us, does that mean they're going to respond in the next 5 hours or the next day or the next 2 days?
Right.
And Joe's really noticed that, like, whenever he engages people, when he invites the DMs on Instagram, that's whenever he shows up first in people's stories, because when people engage with him by clicking a story, seeing a DM, responding, that helps them a lot more. So that's a metric that I would love to see more churches bring in much more, is like, man, where's that personal one-on-one? You know, if everything's inviting that personal conversation, how effective are you going to be? That's the true effectiveness, whenever you actually create because that's what churches are killing at. Like, I mean, every big church is trying to do that too. Every huge church is trying to figure out, how can we make this big church small, right? Yeah. I feel like the same thing with social media. How can I make my 500 followers feel small where they're actually personally engaging with me? I think that's a huge opportunity that I would love to see more churches embrace. And we talk about that, but there's this disconnect. Like, we talk about creating content that's personal, but I'm saying, no, like, engage with people, like ask questions. Yeah, ask questions of people, like ask a question in your stories and then let people respond and let them fill in the blank. Don't just provide the information. There's one of our customers on Sunday Social. He's doing that. Like, he's a church of maybe 100 people, And he's actually using social media as a ministry tool where he's engaging with people at restaurants and he's engaging his community, getting a lot of people following him that are in his community that don't go to his church. And he asks questions like, why are you a Christian? Or if you're not, why are you not a Christian? And then he just invites the DMs, hey, DM us. And then he has a series of other questions to just invite the conversation. I'm like, man, how powerful is that? Like, yeah. This is not just something he thinks is like an extension of Sunday morning. This is a ministry. This is a congregation for him.
Well, the beauty in that is, you know, we post these images even that pose a question, and we get all excited when everyone's answering the question in the comments, and you get a ton of interactions, and it's like, okay, yeah, you know, comments are better than likes, so we're doing something better. We've taken the next step. But what's awesome about what he's doing is he's actually saying, you know, forget all that. Actually, have a conversation with me one-on-one, DM us, someone will reply. And that's actually probably hurting his metrics. Like if he were to, you know, turn in a report of, okay, these posts are, you know, getting this many likes and this many comments, it's probably pretty low. But if he's able to actually pull up a report and say, hey, you know, actually here's Jim who I had a conversation with, and here's something I learned about Jim, and here's what, you know, we talked about, and I was able to invite him to church or talked about his life circumstances, like that's way more powerful than a million likes or a million comments that you really can't do anything with.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
I mean, that's been the thing that we've realized in book writing. Whenever you're trying to sell a book, there are people who have 100,000 followers on Instagram. You post, hey, buy my book, zero people will buy the book because social media is a surface level, shallow platform. Yet if you email someone and make it seem personal and ask their opinion, hey, what do you think about this content that I'm working on with my book? They're much more likely to buy the book. There's this element of like people are just desperate for the personal interaction. That's why Generation Z, man, our millennials, we've destroyed the personal because we're all about, look at me. I want a million people to look at me and like me and affirm me. Whereas Gen Z, their big thing is, man, personal. Like, how can I get my friend? You know, I do want a little bit of attention, but not like, I want a very personal attention, which is interesting that it's swinging to that other extreme.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you know, people are always talking about Twitter and how it does, you know, overall, I think it's like 150 million users compared to Facebook and Instagram and everyone else that has billions of users. It's pretty like insignificant. It's pretty small. But one of the things I love about Twitter is I could literally tweet anybody from the president to celebrities to whoever to Gary Vee. Yeah. And, you know, they can and often do reply right back, and I can have a personal but public conversation with them. We could take it private into a DM if needed. And I think that churches so quickly dismiss Twitter, but honestly, if more pastors got on it, more individuals got on it and used it in that way, I think that'd be great. But what they do is they end up posting a graphic with scripture on it and then wondering, what do I use Twitter for? Like, cool, people liked it, but I don't know what that even got us. It's like, no, use it to actually engage with real people, and I think you can find a lot more value in it.
And that's a funny thing is, I mean, there's two thoughts I have on that is, one, Twitter is a text platform primarily.
Yeah.
Instagram is a still visual platform.
Yeah.
No sound. Typically, sound is off on Instagram. YouTube is a video with sound. TikTok is a music with video, with humor, with something unexpected. Like, all of these have different purposes, right? So, like, matching that. But another thing is that the problem with Instagram right now is every company is flocking to Instagram saying, all the people there are there. We have to hit them with ads. Right. So it's just everyone's desensitized to anything that appears to be genuine or appears to be like trying to have a conversation, right? Instagram's a horrible place for conversation. Whereas now, since everyone saying Twitter is dead, now all the true people that are actually wanting to communicate and engage on that platform are still there.
Right.
And that the purity of the platform is much higher. So you have that on both sides of the spectrum. You have TikTok, much purer platform because it's new. People don't know what to do with it yet. Or you have the backside, the sunrise or the sunset platforms where like, man, the purity on both of those is so much cleaner. And I love to see the opportunities in both of those.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's awesome. I think it's a good discussion, man. And I think you're going down a great path, and you're providing some awesome tools for people to do this. You know, again, they can implement whatever strategy they want with these tools, but you're at least providing them, you know, all of the work is kind of done for them with Sunday Social. Honestly, they can just grab stuff and post it, and then it's up to them to carry on those conversations from there. And I think that that's awesome. And they can go to SundaySocial.tv, right? And
correct.
Sign up. You've got a couple different plans now, right? Like,
yeah. So we have JPEG only. JPEG only is $9 per month. That's, you get like blank versions or with the text on it, square and horizontal. We're about to switch to 4x5 because that does better with mobile. Cool. And then we have Photoshop subscription. And then we have a combo plan with Visual Media Church if you want to get your Sunday visuals and your midweek visuals done. So yeah, there's a few cool options. And again, we can't fix your social media for you, but we can hopefully take some of the content creation stress out of it. And that's, we hopefully could do that one small thing really well for you.
It's huge for, you know, the majority of churches out there who don't have, you know, a graphic creative team on staff. You're doing that for them. And what I love though, is you're not just creating cool looking graphics, that's part of it, but they can actually grab, you know, the captions, you're coming up with the ideas for them as well, and they just need to post it and go from there. Out of all the churches, you've got, you know, over 2,000 churches using this now, you said, have you seen any that are just really using it well, that stand out? I know it's probably hard to track them all and pay attention to what they're using the content for, but any that stand out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have like Willow Creek, who uses it just as like encouraging thoughts every now and then, and interspersed with their photos. You have some churches that are like pulling out the background and using their own photos in it. I really see that's the best option. You know, even the girl who does our social media for us, Brianna, she works with Grace Avenue Church here in San Antonio, and they will take all the elements and use it for what they're trying to accomplish. So it saves them a ton of time, make sure the quality is good, but then they really personalize it with their photos and their, you know, quotes from their pastor and stuff like that. So that's where I see the best use. And that's what we're trying to make more and more options available, where like you can customize it for your purpose and just kill it in your context.
Love it, man. You guys are doing awesome work. Appreciate what you're doing. And when's the next book come out?
September 2020. It's a while, man.
Wow, man. What do you... It only takes a few days to write a book. What are you guys waiting for?
We wrote it in like 2 months, but it's just all the edits, all the designs, all the re-edits, and, you know, it'll be a good product. Like that. Out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once it comes out, just some time for the next conference. So hopefully we'll be able to have you come on down and maybe sign some more books next year.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Love it. Well, thanks for chatting, stopping by, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And where can people find out more about you? Obviously, they can go to SundaySocial.tv to check that out. Anywhere else you want to send them?
JonathanMalm.com. That has all my socials, all my books, all my projects. You can get it all there.